Rising podcast, where you have the opportunity to meet people who are helping you achieve new heights. I'm Ruth Watkins, president of the U, and my guests today are Alex Beecraft and Ed and Carol Diener. Alex is a senior at the U. He's studying psychological and social entrepreneurship. Now, that's a major you may have never heard of, and it's because Alex crafted it. He's a former presidential intern, and he's working with the Dieners on an American Dream Ideas Challenge project. You're going to hear more about that in this podcast. Carol Diener is a clinical psychologist and also an attorney. And Ed is a professor of psychology at the U, and he holds appointments also at the University of Virginia and the University of Illinois. He's a senior scientist at the Gallup Organization. And maybe most important for today, Ed is often known as Dr. Happiness because of his groundbreaking work over the past 30 years on subjective well-being. What is it that makes us feel happy in our life? So welcome, Alex, Carol, and Ed. So pleased to have you with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Ed, let's start with you. After all these years of studying happiness and well-being, what is the secret? I think you've found that people in different countries have different levels of happiness, and maybe that offers a clue. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, there isn't a secret in the sense that we've done research, as you say, for 30 years. We know a lot about it. And also, a secret implies there's something magic. If I just discovered that one thing, I'd be happy. But it's not like that. There's a number of things that all influence our happiness. Think of health. If somebody said, what's the secret to health? And you'd say, oh, maybe a good vaccine. Oh, no, a good diet, not smoking, exercise. All those things influence your health. Happiness is the same way. There's a number of influences. And if you miss one of them, you could be in trouble. So let's just talk about a couple of them very briefly in terms of countries of the world. We've done a lot of study to see what countries are more satisfied with their life or enjoy life more. So one of the first things that you need is you need social relationships that are strong and supportive. So Denmark, for example, is often cited as the country with the highest life satisfaction. And in Scandinavian countries in general score high on life satisfaction because there is so much social capital there. People trust each other. People help each other. The other thing we know is that wealthy countries tend to be happier. You don't have to be wealthy, but you have to be sort of middle of the road. If you're in the poor end, life satisfaction's lower. So if you can't quite get enough food, if you don't have housing. So we know, for example, that most of the rich countries are fairly high in life satisfaction compared to the countries that have dire poverty. Another thing is enjoying social relationships, but also having a positive outlook on life. So we know Latin American countries, Costa Rica is a good example that scores quite high in enjoying life. So they're happy because of that. So we have a number of different factors we know about, and we'll talk about that with our enhanced intervention. And we have examples of that both with people, but also with countries of the world.
So interesting, and I'm guessing applies a lot to the work that you three are doing together. So I think what brought you three together is an opportunity to create a proposal for the American Dream Ideas Challenge. And that challenge is about helping support middle-income lifestyles and support health and well-being in our communities. And it's a proposal that you three will be pitching to Eric Schmidt and others on Schmidt Futures through this American Dream Ideas Challenge. I believe, Alex, maybe you tell us a little bit about it. And I understand that you very cleverly named this Well-Being Elevated.
Yes, that is our name, Well-Being Elevated. And we're very excited for the June 8th pitch at the national level and very grateful for the support that we've received from the Alliance for the American Dream, Schmidt Futures, University of Utah, and you, President Watkins. So thank you very much. It's been very helpful in us starting our social enterprise. So Well-Being Elevated is a mental health program for college students and Utahns. And we utilize this amazing content that Drs. Ed and Carol Diener have built. And this dynamic content offers an array of interventions and skill lessons that are shown by randomized control trials to reduce anxiety, stress, and depression, and ultimately to facilitate well-being and human flourishing. So we have three methods of delivery for the Wellbeing Elevated program, which are a website and an app which we're in the process of developing. So we're very excited about that. And in these two tech-enabled mediums, our student users and users can engage with the program via a smartphone, a tablet, or their computers, whatever medium they prefer. And then the third component of the delivery is a student support group. So we feel that it's imperative, especially for student users, to make connections outside of the digital world. And in these groups, students get together and share about the program and how they're applying it in their daily life. And so this is also a great space for students to get together and share about perhaps some of the stressors or challenges that they may be facing as well. And so before COVID-19 hit, we were implementing our first support groups in person on campus, but of course, for safety reasons, could no longer do so. And we immediately moved to Zoom meetings. And this medium has actually been very effective in facilitating connectivity and practicing the lessons. So we're very excited about this. And we are kind of ramping up at the end of May with more groups, and we're hoping to engage as many students as possible throughout the summer. And a little bit of the motivation behind this is across the United States on college campuses, there's been an uptick in mental health issues. So 39% of college students were experiencing one significant mental health issue, such as anxiety, depression, or even suicidal thoughts before COVID-19. And the majority of mental illness presents itself between about the ages of 18 and 25. So we feel that universities are these amazing ecosystems where we can address mental health issues preventatively before they occur with mental health promotion or when they're just beginning by providing skills and tools and coping mechanisms for the students. And of course, get them talking about these issues if they need more help. And our goal is to pilot here at the University for Utah and scale to other institutions across the state of Utah, such as colleges and high schools and other entities as well. And the impetus behind that is we have some significant challenges as a state in terms of mental health. So in Utah, we have high prevalence of mental illness in adult populations. And many of our youth in Utah have mental health needs. We're excited to be of service to all Utahns.
Well, such an important issue that you're addressing. I am going to send my very best wishes as you go to the pitch competition that you may be successful and secure some resources to help this really scale up. I applaud the creativity also with COVID-19 derailing your original game plan, but the three of you could very flexibly adapt and continue your development. So I think, Carol and Ed, that this effort with Wellbeing Elevated really grew from your own work with a project called Enhance. Carol, maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, Enhance is a program that we've put together based on research done by positive psychologists and also some therapy. This is not a therapy program. I want to be very clear about that. But Ed will talk a little bit later about the outcomes if you use the program. But this is an effort to help people become more resilient, to help people to develop the habits, if you will, of happiness, and to have a sustainable happiness in their lives, which includes values and purpose and meaning, not just sort of joyful jumping around. So that's going to be very important. I'll tell you just a little bit about a few of the topics. We have 15 different topics. The idea would be that the students, and we're delighted that the university wants to help us roll this out and that we'll be able to use the University of Utah students with this project. We start with looking at values and strengths and character strengths and goals for your well-being. And we have a series of questionnaires that students can take that helps them to know themselves better. College students are often at a time of exploration, not entirely for sure what they want to do, And this is a way to help them look at those things and see how aligned their values and their strengths are. Then there's a whole set of issues on coping with difficulties. All of us face difficulties, and right now the difficulties perhaps have escalated. So we're trying to use some very specific things in our program to help with the COVID-19 stressors that have arisen for us. And we're looking at coping with negative thoughts and feelings, and also some very, very specific ideas about handling stressors on a day-to-day basis. Another component of the program is positive thinking, and we have lessons that teach how to approach day-to-day life in a more positive, optimistic way. All of us have things that we have to deal with, and learning to view those things in a positive way and looking at things are very, very helpful. So we teach some mindfulness. You've heard of mindfulness. That's very popular in the media. Meditation skills, also popular in the media. Self-compassion. And then we also talk about attention to positive things in your world, in your life, and some savoring techniques to just take a moment and rehearse some positive things from your past, some positive things that are occurring right now. A big component of any sort of life satisfaction or sustainable happiness is going to be positive relationships. So there are quite a few lessons available on appreciating others, showing gratitude, active listening, how to really develop deep, meaningful relationships, and perhaps a few in there about handling conflicts, and perhaps there are a few people in your relationships that are not so positive, and how do you deal with those? And then the last part is on physical well-being. We know that your physical well-being and your mental well-being are tied together. These are not totally distinct things. And so we talk about a lot of behavioral activation, moving, exercise. People don't like that word, so we call it physical fitness. With college students, we talk about some good sleep hygiene. Sleep can be a real problem for many people. And I think with the COVID-19, we're finding even that increasing with people having difficulty with their sleep patterns. So the idea of getting moving and sleeping better and taking care of yourself, eating well, being healthier, are all part of this well-being package.
Well, I'm really curious, and Ed, maybe you're the best person to ask this. How do we know if a program like this is making a difference?
Well, of course, what scientists want to do is some randomized controlled trials. Assign people randomly to two groups so you can tell for sure that the thing one group gets that the other group doesn't get is the causal factors. So we have now done about 4 or 5 randomized controlled trials, both with college students and community adults, and tested whether Enhance works. And what we have found is so encouraging. First of all, we do find people saying they're happier. So we find increases in life satisfaction, we find increases in enjoying life, and we find decreases in stress and feelings of sadness and depression. But even more surprising, it goes beyond that. These increases in happiness are accompanied by several other things. One is fewer sick days, better health. That's really surprising. We did not target health in the thing specifically. We don't have, for example, nutrition and dental hygiene, all these things, but yet health got better with fewer sick days. Another outcome, which was quite encouraging, was we found that people's memories and attention increased a little bit. This was quite surprising. We didn't know that we were going to change memory and attention. And yet scores, objective scores on objective tests of memory and attention increased. And then another thing we found, again, an objective measure, was increased activity level as measured by Fitbits. So which measure, of course, how many steps you take, how many flights of stairs you do. So we've gotten really good evidence so far from around the country and in Canada as well, that Enhance works.
Really quite amazing. And I think about the present moment that we're in, where we have increased anxiety and uncertainty around COVID-19. I think many people are expressing that. I wonder what kind of advice you would give people, Carol, in this moment of uncertainty and anxiety about how to manage that well.
Let's talk about two different areas. Each of these things I've mentioned, we could individually talk about how it would apply to help you with the COVID-19. But let's talk about social relationships, because that's really an important component. We're all supposed to be socially distancing. That's not such a good word. We're physically distancing, but we should not be emotionally distancing. We should be going out of our way to continue very positive interactions with people who are important to us. So things, depending on where you are and what is available to you, regular phone calls, regular scheduled Zoom meetings, writing notes to people, email, text, anything that's available to stay in touch with those that are important to you. People should be doing, and they should be doing it on a scheduled basis. It's so easy right now to wake up in the morning and, I have to work from home. I'm not doing anything. Staying in your pajamas all day. I would suggest you get dressed as soon as you get up and you look at your daily planner. You're used to looking at your daily planner and you see, oh, I have a telephone call scheduled at 10 o'clock. I have at 1 o'clock an exercise program that I'm going to Zoom into and exercise. At 3 o'clock, I have something scheduled so that you keep yourself active mentally and physically. Certainly, I would say this is a very important time to do some meditation or to learn some meditation if you haven't already got those skills to help reduce your stress, to think about taking care of yourself and thinking about that important sleep hygiene. So I think socially and physically, there's a lot that people can do at this particular time to help them handle the stresses that this is causing everyone.
Very helpful. Alex, as a student, how have you been managing during this time?
With a lot of the tools that Carol just mentioned.
We'd expect nothing less from you, Alex.
Meditation is a great way to start my morning. I like to be routine. If I follow a routine, that's very helpful. And if I start my day with, whether it's 5 minutes of meditation or longer, ideally 20, that carries throughout my day and enables me to be present in the moment, not so much thinking about the future. Of course, as Carol mentioned, staying connected via Zoom, email, telephone calls, just being connected with family and friends is very important. Sharing about some stressors as well, and then also actively listening to, you know, other people and trying to be of service where I can. And physical activity is very important for me. Of course, in a socially distant and responsible way, getting out for an hour on my bicycle on the trails or a run helps me feel better and also sleep better. So those are a few of the things I've been doing.
That's great. I will say my own observation of this is walking in the evening in my neighborhood, it's accomplishing many of the things that have been, are on your list and on Ed and Carol's, because you're seeing people and saying hello, greeting them, chatting with people in your neighborhood. Sometimes for people like me, we are rarely free in the evenings, and what a wonderful privilege it's been to have beautiful evenings to walk in the neighborhood and have a little social activity while you're also having some physical activity. So that's great. Carol and Ed, tell us about the NOBA project. I believe that this is something that launched in 2013. Is that right?
Right. So NOBA is changing the subject because what we worried about was rising college costs, just as you are. And one of the things that we thought we could do is small but important is textbook costs. So we, Carol and I, and with family help from my parents and so forth, created a foundation to start a free textbook website. So we have on that right now, it's just psychology, but we have several psychology books. They are free. We've got a couple hundred thousand students using them per year. And it was very challenging, but now, because we had to create not only a textbook, but teacher's manual and test banks and other things to help professors. But so NOBA has an introductory psych textbook. That's the most widely used. Anybody in the country can go and read it. You don't have to be a student. But if your professor signs that book to you, you're going to save up to $200. Now, some people can buy a less expensive textbook for $50, but you know, all of these textbooks add up to, as we know, $1,000 a year or more. So we are trying to bring one part of college education to make it less expensive, and at the same time to make an exciting, interesting book. All of our chapters were written by the expert in that field. So we really have that going for us too.
Well, what a lovely and generous thing to do. I think that's a spectacular idea and a really creative one. So well done. Now, speaking of books, I think many of our listeners will be very, very interested in today's topic, and they might want to know what you'd recommend if they want to learn more. Any ideas from the three of you?
Well, we hope we will have this whole program online that they can get to early in July. And we also have people that are willing to facilitate groups now so that they can sign up. I think Alex will tell us how to do that if they're interested in becoming a participant in one of these groups. And there are a number of things out there that you can do that are all online. You can visit museums, you can go to zoos, you can listen to the opera, all without leaving your home simply by going online and finding things. And Alex, do you want to talk about online meditation a bit?
Sure. I think YouTube is a great resource if you're familiar with meditation or not, especially for beginners. There's a lot of great guided meditations on YouTube. If you wanted to type in Jon Kabat-Zinn guided meditation or Deepak Chopra, this would give you an abundance of guided meditations that you could start with, and you can really just go down the rabbit hole, and there's just a lot of great content there. Also, Headspace is a great meditation app as well. And as Carol mentioned, please reach out to myself. I can leave my email. We are trying to ramp up with our groups sessions via Zoom, and that would be a tremendous resource for students and staff.
Well, my guests today, Alex B. Kraft, Carol Diener, Ed Diener, I thank you so much for your time, and please know that I am cheering for you every step of the way in the pitch competition. This is going to be great fun. And listeners, thank you for spending time with us today, and I hope you'll tune in for the next edition of the U Rising Podcast.